T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chip Carey joining us this morning, talking a little bit as the Braves get ready for their first full workout on Thursday, and then, of course, the first game on Saturday against the Mets in Port St. Lucie, and spring training is here. Hey, Chip, how you doing?
Hey, guys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chip. Chip, do you still get excited for the beginning of baseball around this time?
Oh, of course. I mean, this is, the 2 weeks before Christmas, when everybody's excited to see the gifts under the tree, they see what potentially could be there when Santa Claus comes down the chimney. I think baseball fans feel that way this time of year because you go into spring training not knowing what's going to happen. There's an air of expectation, excitement. Your team, everybody has a chance, at least theoretically on paper. And certainly for Braves country, everybody's excited to see what this team is going to look like defending the Eastern Division Championship and a division, by the way, that's going to be, as Gordon Solie would say, a pure six ball. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. Yeah, I know the guys are ready to get going, and I'm still easing my way into that sentiment. But, it's going to be a fun year.
You know what? Speaking of that, because last year, I think going into the season, there wasn't a whole lot of expectations. But this year, that has changed. Could you kind of talk about that a little bit and tell us what are your expectations for this team this year?
Well, I think that's an excellent point. Nobody expected the Braves to do what they did when they did it. I think everyone had a feeling at some point the Braves were going to make the jump and make the jump into playoff contention, playoff respectability, whatever term you want to use. You know, sometimes the baseball gods tap you on the shoulder before even you think it's going to happen. And last year was that year for the Braves. And now I think the challenge for them is, as we said, in a division that has dramatically improved, how do the Braves keep pace with that, number one? And then number two, how do they manage the expectations of defending their title? The cynics will say, well, the Braves won the division because the Mets were injured, the Nationals weren't good, the Marlins were rebuilding, et cetera, and the Phillies fell apart. All of that's true. But at the end of the day, the Braves were the team that won it. And I think that those guys in that locker room are going to play with a chip on their shoulder and say, hey, we're good and we're going to stay good. And we don't really care what everybody else did. We won the division because nobody else could do that. And I think that's the right attitude to have. And I think the additions that you guys mentioned before I came on, Josh Donaldson, for example, is a big step in that direction.
I'm not sure, Chip, that I agree with that. The naysayers out there who say the Braves didn't win the division after the debacle of what happened in that game against Boston, you know, on that Sunday night when they had to fly across country, from that point on, whatever happened on that flight, that team was a different team. That team went out and won the division. I don't care what happened to Philadelphia. They took it to the Phillies. That team won that division title.
I agree. And I'm not saying that that's my sentiment in any way, shape, or form, and I want to be clear about that. But there are people who say, well, the Braves, you know, they won the division, but
and let them.
That caveat that's there, right?
Yeah, I mean, right.
That's the part that if I'm in that locker room, I'm one of those guys that's okay, we'll show you the but and go out and do it. I think they'll do that this year.
All right, so many questions here, Chip. Let's start with there's been a lot of chatter as to where Ronald Acuña is going to bat in the lineup. What do you expect out of him in his sophomore year? You know, what kind of numbers do you think he could put up, and where do you think he's going to hit?
Well, I think that's going to be up to Brian Snitker. I think the way the game is played now, you put your first three or four best hitters in your lineup, 1, 2, 3, 4, in whatever order you want to put them. If Ender Inciarte turns into the Ender Inciarte that he was 2 years ago and that he was in the second half of the year, he's a terrific leadoff man. You could have Donaldson hitting second, Freeman third, Acuña fourth. You've got a ton of power. You've got speed. You've got durability. You've got flexibility. You go left, right through the lineup. That's one option. Although it's hard to argue with what Ronald did in the second half out of a leadoff spot. And then you've got to figure out, okay, where do Albies and Ender and Brian McCann fit? The thing that's so exciting about that, I would assume from Brian Snitker's standpoint, is that there are many more options now as to how to construct his lineup this year than there were last year. And I think that's what was most notable to me in the playoffs, was the depth and flexibility that the Dodgers had. And that's really the way the game has changed now. You have wave after wave of guys who could possibly start every game for other clubs sitting and lying in wait for you when the game changes or on a every other day basis. And I think the Braves have addressed that. I love the idea of Camargo getting a lot of at-bats and reps at different positions. I think he's going to flourish in that role. You know what Charlie Culberson can do. Braves like their catching tandem of Flowers and McCann. You know, Donaldson's going to get a few blows at third base, so you can plug Camargo in there or at shortstop. So Brian's going to have a lot of options. You'll probably see a lot of different lineups, which is good. And I'm excited about the lineup. I'm excited about the run scoring ability and the quick strike capability of this group, much more so than last year.
You know, speaking of the way that baseball is evolving, there's a lot of free agents out there, mainly Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Why do you think that these guys are still without a club right now?
Well, I think owners have gotten smarter. You know, the days of the George Steinbrenners and the Gussie Bushes and the O'Malleys going out and, you know, saying, hey, whose wallet is bigger and having those kinds of free agent contests, those days are over. And it seems to me that the players who complain about metrics being used to evaluate their worth and their future worth are the same guys that are using metrics to tout their worth right now. General managers and managers and management have gotten a lot smarter. And look, I like what Rob Manfred said the other day. At the end of the day, the market has changed, and the way that players and the way the game is evaluated from the eyes of a front office has changed dramatically. Justin Verlander is upset. A lot of other players are upset, apparently, that the economics right now aren't bending in the direction that they would like. Well, last time I checked, the players and owners negotiated collectively a bargain that they have both agreed to. And all of a sudden now the unintended consequences aren't necessarily benefiting the players the way that they would like. Jim Bowden said the other day, the average annual value of a Major League Baseball contract has gone down somewhat this year. But once Harper and Machado sign, those numbers are going to go up again. The game's never been healthier. The players are making money. The owners are making money. The fans are enjoying the product. I hope that cooler heads will prevail 3 years before the end of this current labor situation, and we can get back to talking about balls and strikes and not millionaires and billionaires arguing over whose piece of the pie is bigger.
Voice of the Braves, Chip Carey, joining us this morning live as we get ready for the Braves' first workout on Thursday, spring training opener against the Mets on Saturday. A couple of questions about spring training in a moment, but this is just me, Chip. I covet the idea of Kimbrel coming back to the Braves. I don't know if they can work it out. But as constructed, I asked the question last week, can this Braves team win the World Series? And that includes what I still consider to be the one issue that hasn't really been addressed enough for my liking, and that's the bullpen. How do we stand right now in terms of that, in your opinion?
Well, I think the Braves like what they have down there. My question is, okay, you've got guys who haven't done it before over the full season. A.J. Minter has a terrific arm. He's got great stuff. Hasn't done it before. Aroldis Vizcaino has a terrific arm. He's hurt a lot. You know, Shane Carl, guys like that have shown flashes of brilliance but faded down the stretch. You know, there's two ways of looking at it. How do you justify paying a closer who's going to pitch in maybe 60 or 70 games, $15 to $20 million, when you have other needs that you need to address as well? That's the rub, I think, economically, that a lot of teams face. Would the Braves or any other team like to have Craig Kimbrel? I would assume so. The guy's a terrific closer. He would certainly solidify a very deep and very talented and very young bullpen. But whether or not the Braves want to allocate those resources there is way above my pay grade. But, yeah, heck, as a Braves fan, as a baseball fan, I'd love to see a guy like Craig Kimbrel on my roster. I'd love to see Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander on my roster, too.
All right, fair enough.
But, you know, it has to make sense for both sides.
You know, as a Braves fan, Chip, I have to ask you, because John has, if you don't know, my partner has lofty expectations and high expectations for this club coming up this season. So I'm going to ask you the question that he's been asking everybody else. Presently constructed, can the Braves make it to the World Series? And if not, what do they need, in your opinion? What do they need on their roster to get to that level?
Well, first of all, you have to be one of the eight teams to get to the dance. You have to get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen. It's like hockey. You get a hot goaltender, and anything's possible. So, yes, the Braves, as currently constructed, I think can get to the playoffs. Personally speaking, I would love to see the Braves or any team in the position that the Braves are in kind of adopt the strategy the Cubs did. They went out and got John Lester a little early, and John Lester was kind of the mother duck, as you will, who taught all the other ducklings, do what I do, and this is how we're going to do things here. And he solidified and legitimized a rotation. He was a guy that you could give the ball in game one or game two of a playoff series and know you had a chance to win the game. I think the Braves have a ton of young pitching talent, as we know. But as I said before regarding the bullpen, they haven't really done it before. They're going to take big steps forward. I have no concerns at all that Newcomb and Fulton Evich are going to continue to develop and these other youngsters are going to do it. But having that guy that you know has been in those bright light situations before, personally speaking, I think is invaluable. You can never have enough pitching, as we saw last year. Young guys, old guys, they get hurt, they go down. But, a number one, a dude, as Brian Snitker mm-hmm. has said. A dude at the top of your rotation is something that every team wishes they had. And maybe Mike Foltynewicz is going to be that guy this year coming off an all-star season. He certainly has the stuff. He's certainly grown up a lot. As we've seen so often, this is a show-me business. Until you've done it, nobody knows for sure that you can. And for a team that I think wants to take that next step forward and win a playoff series for the first time in 19 years or 18 years, having that dude at the top, I think, would help everybody feel really, really good about their chances.
Right. Doing that. One final question to Chip Carey. Biggest spring training battle that I see, if you go Foldy, Nuke, Gausman, Tehran, is that fifth starter spot. Okay, you got Soroka, Tukey, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, and others. Who wins? Mm-hmm. Who's going to win?
Whoever pitches best.
Okay.
Simple as that.
That's not the politically correct answer, but that's reality. And, the thing about the fifth starter is, with off days and stuff early in the season, that fifth starter usually doesn't pitch until game 12 or game 13 because, you have off days, you probably will have some bad weather mixed in along the way. So that part of it is not as big an issue, I think. It's, depth. I think bullpen depth. It wouldn't surprise me if the Braves do this year exactly what they did last year and make a couple of moves right before opening day. Remember, they got Ryan Flaherty at the last minute and Peter Borges at the last minute, and those two guys played huge instrumental roles in the first couple of weeks of the season. So with all those free agents, John, that you mentioned out there, there are going to be some jobs open. There are going to be some opportunities for guys to come in and maybe show up in places nobody expected to have happen, and that's exciting too. So off we go. As you said, first workout in a couple of days, first games this weekend. So it's a great time to be a baseball fan.
Chip, you're always welcome, and we are really looking forward. I'm excited about this team. I know you are too. Thanks.
You're the man, Chip.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.